Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join. Shop your favorite brands and save. Sephora, Boots, Argus, Temu, Adidas, Trip.com. The list is long. Save online at over 550 stores. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose bank transfer or PayPal. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, get a new outfit. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to rakuten.co.uk or get the app. That's Rakuten.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. So I've always been fascinated with the mysterious world of psychics and mediums. Have you been? I mean, I think it's something that we all are a little bit, skeptical about. We want to believe, and then some people really do believe. So I really wanted to have a guest on to kind of debunk all the myths, to talk to me about why they got into this. And I think I found the perfect guest for you. When you lose someone, I think it's natural to wonder, obviously, about the afterlife, to wonder if that person is talking to you, if they can see you. And, we really got to the bottom of the difference between psychics and mediums and if the afterworld really does exist. So today I get to talk to Cindy Kaza. She's an amazing psychic medium. She stars on the hit Travel Channel show, The Dead Files. And you can currently find her on tour all over the United States, helping connect her audience with their loved ones on the other side. So if you guys haven't seen The Dead Files, by the way, on the Travel Channel, you should really watch it. So I had not seen the show before I interviewed her. And in doing some research on her, I did watch some episodes, and it's actually really great. And when I asked her about the show, she really does confirm that it is not staged. The producers do not tell her where they are going. They do not tell her what to say, what to feel. So it is really interesting to hear the process of that show and how, real it is. Cindy is so cool and grounded, not what you might imagine for a psychic medium. She has such a way of explaining things or events that sometimes seem unexplainable. We talk about following your intuition and how that manifests differently in everyone, whether we should believe in signs. And Cindy actually opens up about a personal story of loss and what signs mean to her. We talk about spirit guides and if we all have one and what they look like. Our conversation didn't stop at just the mysteries of the present life. Cindy spoke passionately about forgiveness, soul integration, death, and the afterlife. I learned so much from talking to her, and she really gave me a glimpse into this mystical world of the unknown. Whether you are a believer or a skeptic, I know you will take something spiritual away from this episode. So please sit back and enjoy with me this conversation with Cindy Kaza. Hi, Cindy. Thank you so much for joining me on Misunderstood.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So the first thing I wanted to start with, there is a distinction between a psychic and a medium. Correct me if I'm wrong, but most people in the modern world use the terms interchangeably. So I wanted to start with the definition from you and the difference.
Yeah, that's a great question. So psychics pick up on past, present, and future. So if you're going to a psychic, you would be asking questions about your own life, people in your life. A lot of people ask questions about relationships, work, so on and so forth, right? Mediums communicate with spirits, with energies in other dimensions. So all mediums are psychic, right? So I call myself a psychic medium just because I want people to understand that I can do both, but medium would be enough technically to say I'm a medium, right? But I'll say not all psychics have the same level of mediumistic ability. So some people will just work on a psychic level, which is amazing, but they won't really go into connecting with the spirit world. And I particularly prefer to work with spirits. So anyway, that's the difference. But a lot of people, you're right, they don't know that.
So And explain this like spirit world as opposed to people that are dealing with tarot cards and, you know, talking about your past and if you're going to marry the person you're with now or whatever. So like, how do you identify what you're good at?
Yeah, just through experience, through trying different things. I teach mediumship a lot and intuitive development. And I always tell my students, just be open to whatever is happening. And some students find they're just working on a more psychic level, but it's one is not better than the other. So I really want to stress that. They're both really useful. But you won't really know until you get validated, until you try different things. And you know, psychic work is really, I have a friend who's a psychic investigator. So she works with law enforcement to help solve crimes. That is not my forte. It's not my cup of tea necessarily, but like I see how powerful her work is and she's really good at what she does. She literally works with law enforcement to help solve murders, find missing people. It's pretty amazing.
So I've always wondered about that because you see that a lot on shows and, you know, you never, well, you assume it's mostly scripted, but it's like if somebody can actually speak to the dead, why, and they're dealing with a homicide, wouldn't they be able to, you know, conjure up the spirit of the person that died and find out who killed them or where their body is if they're missing?
Not necessarily. I mean, and look, like television, the shows that I'm on are not scripted. Like when I'm walking into an investigation, I'm going in, they don't tell me anything. So I'm on Dead Files season 15. It's a new show that I'm on. I mean, the show's been on for a long time, but I'm a new co-host to the show. Yeah. When I go in, they don't tell me anything. I have no idea whose house I'm going into. Like a lot of times a hotel is 40 minutes away from the actual location that we're investigating. I walk in, I see what I'm getting. They don't tell me whether I got anything right until the end either. So it's one of those things where like you just have to like show up and just get what you're getting, trust that it's going to work out. And that's all that you can do. But it's not necessarily like if somebody's working on a psychic level, they might be able to see where the body is. They might psychically be able to see who killed the person. But if they're working psychically, that doesn't mean they're connecting to the spirit of the person who's on the other side because they might be more psychic than they are mediumistic.
So you said that sometimes you'll walk into a place and get a feeling. How do you turn that on versus turn it off? I mean, I would assume that if you can't just have a conversation with anyone from like the supermarket to your family and like hear these spirits all the time, right?
No, that would be awful. No, I do not walk around talking to dead people all day. I have a life that I want to live of my own. I try to be as grounded as possible. I describe it like this. It's like if you could imagine a radio that's plugged into an electrical outlet, right? There's always going to be a current, an underlying current running through, but now I can control how high I turn up the volume. So when I'm going to a location to work, I turn the volume up high. When I leave, I turn it back down.
So you spoke about saying that you teach this. Can you teach this to anyone or someone has to innately have had some sort of experience when they were younger or at some point in their life where they know that they are open to this?
Look, I think everybody comes into this world with the ability to feel these energies. I do not in any way think I'm like this oracle. You must come to me. I think we all have it to a degree. I always say everyone can play the piano. Not everybody's going to be a concert pianist, but we all have the ability to feel energies. And people walk around all the time in daily life saying, oh man, I should have trusted my gut. I should have trusted my gut. What they're really saying when they say that is I should have trusted my intuition. I should have trusted my psychic ability, just using different language. And I can't stress enough how important language is when we're talking about this subject, because people feel a lot more comfortable saying intuition, or they feel a lot more comfortable saying, I had a dream that this happened and then it happened. But those experiences are psychic experiences. But the word psychic, you know, has a little bit of a stigma attached to it. So people are having these experiences all the time. They might be describing the experiences using different language, but at the end of the day, I really, really believe that we all, again, have the ability to feel these energies.
How did you first come to realize that you might have some of these abilities? You were 10 years old when you had your first experience, right?
Yeah. And, you know, the first experience I had, it was 10. There was a girl in my elementary school who passed away in a car accident. And after she died, I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw her standing directly next to my bed, like a full body apparition. It was terrifying. And I pulled the covers over my head. I pulled them back down and she was still standing there. So that's my first experience. Did I understand that I was a psychic medium at that moment? No, I was 10. You know, I grew up in a family that was religious. Most of my family is super Catholic. There are some, you know, born again Christian in the family too. So we didn't talk about stuff like this at all. But I will tell you, my mother used to always say when I was a kid, Cindy's really sensitive. She can see things about people, right? And that was true. I mean, I knew when things were going to happen before they did. I could read people very well. I could feel energies around me, but I didn't have the language to describe my experiences. I didn't know what a psychic medium was. And it wasn't until I was 19, I met this woman named Bonnie, who then became my first mentor. She looked at me and said, "You're a psychic medium." And I was like, "What are you talking about, lady?" You know, I was like, "What are you talking about?" But she was also a psychic medium. So she saw that in me. And I would spend time with her and she would talk to me about metaphysics and psychic things and mediumship and spirits. And it still wasn't quite landing until my 20s when it just started making more sense. And then, you know, I looked back at the experience that I had when I was a 10 and I was like, oh, that really was real. I really was seeing a spirit, because for many years, I never forgot that experience. I knew something happened, but I didn't know, was I dreaming? What was that? Right. And then I realized all along, like, all these experiences I was having were because I'm so sensitive and I'm a psychic medium. But it's really common for people to have dreams of their loved ones after they've died. I mean, it's like, I ask it all of my live events. I do a lot of live events where I tour and bring through people's loved ones who have passed away. And at the beginning of every live event, I ask people, how many of you have had visitation dreams of your loved ones after they've died? And I'd say in almost every audience, it's at least 70% of the audience. It's huge. And visitation dreams, it's not just like you're seeing an image of your loved one and then you wake up. It's very specific. It's powerful. You'll never forget it. You'll remember what they were wearing, how you felt. It's a dream that you will never forget. And a lot of people have had them. Another common experience people have smelling cigarette smoke or perfume or something in the room when there's nobody there smoking or wearing perfume. So, I mean, look, these experiences are more common than people recognize, but they're also a lot more subtle than what people think they should be like based on what we see in Hollywood, like The Sixth Sense, that movie. I use it as an example. It's an excellent movie. It got a lot of things right, but I don't know a single medium who can't tell the difference between somebody who's alive or dead all of the time, right? Like they might see a full body apparition and be confused for a second, but then usually they realize what happened, right? And the signs are usually a lot more subtle than that, way more subtle.
My schedule has been crazy lately. Hasn't yours been? Between working on my podcast, having house guests, doing my daily activities, dealing with my daughter, I was just feeling stressed and sluggish and just not focused like I should be. I gave AG1 a try because I wanted a single solution that could help support my entire body. I'm terrible when it comes to taking supplements, daily especially. I always forget, and I was so over taking a handful of different things that just didn't seem to help. With AG1, I get a boost of energy and it supports my immune system and it tastes great. When I started drinking AG1 daily, I could feel a real difference in my daily health. I had energy again. I felt more relaxed and I could focus on work and be there for my daughter and the people that need me. That's because AG1 is a foundational nutritional supplement that supports your body's universal needs like gut optimization, stress management, and immune support. Since 2010, AG1 has led the future of foundational nutrition, continuously refining their formula to create a smarter, better way to elevate your baseline health. So as a morning ritual, I make my AG1 supplement by adding 8 to 12 ounces of water, and I put a squeeze of lemon and a squeeze of lime in to mix it. And sometimes I actually put like very cold, icy water. I shake it and I drink it. And then in the afternoon, I put one drop into anything I might be drinking that afternoon, but I put one drop of the vitamin D3 K2. And I just, you know, I don't have that sluggish feeling in the afternoon anymore. And it really has become my ritual. Even my friends have started taking, the opportunity to drink AG1, and they tell me always how much they love it. They feel like their body is getting all the nutrients it craves. And I really couldn't agree more. AG1 is the supplement I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. And that's why I'm so excited to welcome them as a new partner to Misunderstood. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3 K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/understood. That's drinkag1.com/understood and check it out. There's no promo code that you can use. You have to type that in exactly as I'm saying it to be able to get this free 1 year supply and free AG1 travel pack. So make sure you type it correctly. It's drinkag1.com/understood. I can't wait to hear how you feel. So, and are you as a medium, when you say you're communicating, are you seeing, like when you're doing this in a group setting, are you seeing just a bunch of people or hearing, like, I know you said about the radio thing, but like, how do you deal with it when you're in a huge room of people? And obviously the people attending are all really wanting to be picked or connect with someone. So how do you kind of pick who you're going with?
Yeah. So I don't go directly to people in the audience first. That's not how I work. I go to the spirit world first and I see who's coming through. So it'll be something like this. Like I'd say, I have a dad, he died of cancer. I'm hearing the name Pat. I feel pulled to this area. Who understands this, right? And the way that the information comes through, I describe it kind of like playing a game of Pictionary, charades, and telephone all at the same time, if you could imagine that, because I see, which is using clairvoyance. Clairvoyance means clear seeing. So it's like if you were to think of an image of your loved one in your mind, that's how I see. Usually it's not full body apparition. It's in the mind, the mind's eye. I hear, which is called clairaudience, but it's not external auditory most of the time. Rarely is it for me. It's like if you were to sing the words to your favorite song in your head, it sounds like I'm talking to myself, but it's actually not coming from me. And then I can feel their personalities. I can feel their emotions. I can feel how they were when they were alive, which is clairsentience. So one spirit might give me three pieces of information using three different clairs. I might see the name, I might feel how they died, and I might hear where they lived or something like that. So when I talk about studying mediumship and teaching mediumship, it's not that I'm teaching somebody like necessarily how to be a medium. Like they have to be open enough to have the information coming through, but it's more learning how to navigate all of the pieces of information coming at you really quickly. And when I'm working with a large group of 300 people, there are a lot of spirits there. So you also have to learn how to navigate like the line of spirits waiting to come in and how to be grounded in that experience as a medium, because it can be really difficult.
So if we have anyone listening that is interested in kind of learning and opening themselves up to this, is there any sort of advice or like a couple tips you can give people to see if they can be more open?
Well, I'd say the biggest piece of advice I have for everybody is to trust your experiences, because the one thing that people do most often is they have an experience and then they immediately tell themselves they made it up. It's not real. It's all in their head. And that it can't possibly be true. So the more you believe, the more you receive. If you can't get out of your own way in that sense, it's going to be very hard to move forward and to trust that the spirit world is really there, right? And another piece of advice would be, again, like studying, sit in meditation, allow yourself to be still long enough to feel these energies coming in, because again, I can't stress enough how subtle it can be. And if you can't sit still enough to notice the subtleties, you're going to miss them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are a lot of different things. I mean, this could be a whole podcast on mediumship development, right? Mm-hmm. If I had an hour to just talk about that. But I mean, the biggest thing is the trust. It's really hard to move forward if you can't trust your experiences.
Right. Do you believe in signs? A lot of people will say, oh my, so-and-so loved rainbows, or they loved, you know, butterflies. And then after that person passes, they will see that all the time. Do you believe in that? Or do you, and is that a real thing? Or do you think that's somebody really just holding out hope and now kind of pointing those things out because they know that that reminds them of that person?
Look, I believe in signs. I believe in symbols. I believe in all of it. Here's my take on that. It's not that the spirit, and this is my personal belief, right? Everybody has their own way of experiencing the spirit world and their own views and values and whatnot. But it's not like the spirit of the person is inside the butterfly. It feels more like this. You might be walking down the street and all of the sudden, you're like, I have to look left. And there you look, and there's a butterfly right next to you. Had you not been guided to look at that moment in that direction, you would have totally missed it. Mm-hmm. And I just want to share, because sometimes it can sound kind of like cheesy when I'm giving a reading. I'm like, oh no, do I really have to say look for rainbows? And like, this feels so cheesy. But I'll tell you, my brother passed away last year, right? And it's thank you. It's been very interesting for me. As somebody working in this field professionally who can connect with other people's loved ones all the time, to not be able to feel my brother around me. So this has been like, he's dead. He's been dead for a year. Haven't really felt him. But at his funeral, and everybody saw this at the funeral, we looked up and there was like a rainbow around the sun. It's some sort of it's called something. I can't remember what it's called, but it's a meteorological
phenomenon.
So we all saw it, like everybody at the funeral is taking pictures of it. We're like, this is crazy. And then I went to the Airbnb after, you know, his funeral. I'm sitting on the deck, it's raining, another rainbow. It's like right going through the lawn. I mean, it's low, it's like below the trees. And like, this is also very interesting. And then so I'm like, okay, my brother's sign is rainbows. I'm just going to trust that. What more do I need to know that his sign is rainbows? Mm. And then we spread his ashes this summer in a lake, and it was not raining. It was like a beautiful day. Spread the ashes, and there are five people in the boat. We look up and there are these micro mini rainbows forming all over the place. Like, I'd love to send you pictures of this because I've never seen anything like it. It wasn't a full rainbow. It was just like these little rainbows kind of appearing everywhere. And, you know, so I know that signs and symbols, like I could not explain that. None of us could. We're like, how is this even happening? Like, how is this happening? So I don't feel my brother coming near me and saying, hey, Cindy, I'm here. Good to see you. But I see the rainbows, and that feels right to me. There have been way too many situations or things that have occurred since he died with rainbows for me to deny that, you know? So wow. I think it's important for people to like trust those experiences too.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's really good advice. And that's a beautiful story that gave me chills. Let's talk about the skeptics right now, because, you know, for me, I lost my father when I was young. I lost my fiance when we were engaged. And I've been open about it. It's something that people can Google me and they know everything about those stories. And I've had people try to connect me with psychics or mediums in the past. And I've been really hesitant. Actually, I was really read by somebody, but I was very skeptical going into it because I feel like so many people can do their due diligence on someone and then kind of know what to say. And, you know, talk to me about whether or not this is a real profession and if this is a real thing or if people can learn it. You know, I'm not saying this to be offensive at all, but, you know, for example, I interviewed a mentalist who was doing kind of all the same things that a psychic could do, right? They could predict things, they could kind of, and he explained to me that you can really learn it. I mean, it's about learning people, it's about learning, you know, body language, and then kind of steering them in the way to get them to answer, or to get you to say things that they kind of egg you on, and then you know where you're going. So talk to me about how to deal with the misconceptions and the skeptics, please.
Well, sure. Okay. So I learned a long time ago, my job is not to turn skeptics into believers. It is a lost cause. It is not the right use of my energy. It's just like, I believe in what I do. I know it's real. I do readings all the time. I can't deny the things that have happened with me having zero information, right? So let me just say that to begin with. Are there people that lie and are there frauds? Absolutely. They exist in this profession too. It's very unfortunate. But what I will say is this, like,
wait, can I ask you a quick question? Can you spot those people immediately?
Not always.
Okay.
Not always. And mentalists, yeah, I don't know much about mentalism, but I do know mentalists tend to dislike mediums because they think we're mentalists when I'm not a mentalist and I've never studied mentalism, right? But what I'll say is this, like, how is it that I can be given zero information about an investigation I'm doing? Zero. Like the production company goes so far, I don't even have the address of the location. They put me in a van so I can't see it. They don't tell me where I'm going and go in and get this information that's, you know, validated after. That makes sense. Getting names and things like that. Like, how would I know that? You know, I don't have the information ahead of time.
Right.
And doing live events, I could do a live event blindfolded and still get the same information.
Really? Oh my goodness.
Sure. Okay. I mean, it's weird to do it blindfolded if you're in front of 300 people with a blindfold on the whole time. You know, that's awkward, but it's possible.
Right.
And, you know, I've done readings at live events where I've turned my back to the audience and brought through a reading. I can't even see the person that I'm reading for. And it's the same thing, like with Dead Files, the show that I'm on now, like I'm not interacting with the families that live there when I'm doing the walkthroughs. There's nobody there except for the camera guys. Right. So I'm not reading anybody's body language because there's nobody there to read.
Wow. I just got chills again. I watched a couple. So you've been on three episodes that have aired so far. Is that right? You started September 7th?
Yeah, three. Yeah,
so I watched, I guess, two at this point, and they're really good. I did not know of the show before. And so that was my main question. Is any of it scripted? You've kind of answered it. It's not.
Yeah. No,
I mean, obviously it's scripted in the way that they're finding these homes and they're finding these situations, obviously, and then they're bringing you, but they're not explaining to you how they want you to react and what they want you to say.
They don't tell me anything. And then at the end, you'll see with the reveal, right? With my partner, Steve DeShalvi, who's the retired homicide detective.
Yeah.
We don't interact until we're on camera at the end. So when you see us being surprised, like, oh my God, I can't believe this lined up that way, is because we literally haven't spoken about what the other person got until that moment. So both of our reactions are really genuine. We're just like, oh my God. Like, so yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate that there are people out there like without good intentions that are frauds that are making us all look bad. It sucks.
Yeah.
But all that I can do as a psychic medium is be me and be within integrity and do the best that I can do. And I'll tell you this too, another misconception that people have about psychics and mediums is that like, we're supposed to know everything, get everything right all the time. And that's also not true. And because we can misinterpret, the information has to be filtered through our awareness as well. Right. And so,
right. And your experience of what they're saying, I would assume that's hard.
It can be, right? It can be hard because you have to get out of your own way enough to let it come in without misinterpreting or filtering it through your lens in a way that's like, what's the word? Like it's a projection, right? You can project things into a reading without meaning to. So that's another thing, like with studying mediumship, it's learning how to get out of your own way and get out of your own mind enough. One of my mentors used to say, to be a good medium, you have to lose your mind. Hmm. And I was like, what is he saying? I was like, oh, I get it. You have to get out of your own way.
Yeah. Oh, wow. It's so interesting. Has it ever backfired? Like when I was watching the show, I was thinking, well, what if these families got it wrong? What if there are no paranormal things going on there? Then would you walk into a situation and be like, I don't see anything here. There's nothing here. Like, how would that work?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, if that were the case, if I really didn't see anything, I would say it. I think what happens because
Has that ever happened?
It hasn't happened. Not yet. Mm-hmm. Because I think the production company does enough research in the sense where they make sure they're not going to put me on an episode like that because they mm-hmm. really make sure the family is like not making stuff up, you know, like they really do a good job with that. But there have been experiences and not just on Dead Files, right? Like if I talk about my career and places I've been and people I've spoken to where people have said to me, like, there's something in my house, it's a demon. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not a demon. You know, that's not what's happening here. Right. I have no problem telling people that I don't see activity in their home, that I would tell people exhaust all of the other options before you assume it's paranormal activity. Make sure it's not, you know, something with the pipes that you're hearing bangs in the night or whatever. Yeah.
And I do notice that Steve has made an attempt as he's interviewing people to say, well, could that be that you're misinterpreting that? So that does come out in the show and obviously in reality when you're doing stuff. What makes a place haunted and why would a spirit haunt a person or a place, you know, besides, you know, or why would they haunt them as opposed to coming to be like, hi, I'm here. I'm okay. I want you to move on and be happy. Like, what's the whole thing with haunting?
Well, look, when we say haunted, right, it's usually represents something terrifying that's happening, right? We could also just say paranormal activity or activity. And look, I sit with this a lot to say, like, what is really going on? Because it's hard for me to believe that a soul would be like stuck in one house for eternity. Like, I can't energetically wrap my head around that, right? Mm-hmm. And ask me 10 years the same question as this. From 10 years from now, I might have a different answer for you. So this is based on my understanding now, okay? So if you read about people that have had near-death experiences, there's one book that I talk about a lot. It's called Dying to Be Me. It was written by a woman named Anita Morjani. So Anita Morjani had a near-death experience. And when she was on the other side, she was able to be in like 5 different places all at the same time. And they were nowhere near one another. So she comes back. She's obviously alive. She wrote the book. She comes back from the NDE. And she's telling people, I saw this, 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 and this. And everything she saw was accurate. She was literally in 5 different places at once. Okay. And so I was like, well, that's interesting. Like, you know, what does that show us about the ability of the soul to travel? And in my understanding, time and space are not linear on the other side, right? So all of the language that we're using to describe these experiences in this dimension, the language is limited by our understanding of time and space because we live in this realm of duality and all of that, right? Mm-hmm. So then I was like, well, if Anita Morjani had that experience, then it's probably possible that different aspects of these souls that I'm encountering could be other places as well. So then the question is, why am I encountering this aspect of the soul? And what I believe is happening is that I'm encountering maybe a fragmented aspect of the soul, a traumatized aspect of the soul that has unfinished business, that story hasn't been told correctly, that still has pain. And this aspect of the soul needs healing. It needs a voice. It needs somebody to give it a voice so it can reintegrate to the oneness or go somewhere else. Right. Mm-hmm.
Is this what you would call what we would say is like being stuck in limbo? You know, you hear that people refer to.
I mean, right. Limbo, purgatory, so on and so forth. I'd like to describe it as an aspect of the soul trying to figure it out, that maybe it's limbo, maybe it's purgatory, but needs a little bit of extra love. And so my job as a medium is to sit with that part and say, what is going on? Why are you here? What happened to you? Like, why can't you move on? Why are you still stuck here? And when I say stuck here, you know, some people will say that these are like earthbound spirits. Earthbound to me is the language of that is a little bit tricky, because I think that when we pass away, our energy shifts to a different space. It vibrates differently. So there are aspects of souls that are like really impressed upon earthly things that like still want things that are here. They're attached, right? You know, and if we look at like, there's something that people practice now, it's like in healing and psychology and stuff, it's called parts integration. So like people will go to a session with a healer or a psychologist, and they'll try to find this aspect of themselves that fragmented off from a trauma. And once you can find it and what age it happens, you can see it and you can reintegrate it. It's like the same thing with like me working with spirits, I think, right? I'm saying I think, because this is just an idea that I have. That's what it feels like. But, you know, people always ask me like, what can you do in this dimension and in this realm to make your transition to the afterlife easier? Like what can you do? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, good question. And, my answer is, you know, if we really look at the role that forgiveness plays in life, not only forgiving other people, but forgiving ourselves, if we can forgive ourselves, which is even harder a lot of times than forgiving other people, I think that makes it easier, because we won't have these fragmented pieces that have unresolved issues and business and stuff like that. But I don't know. Ask me in 10 years. I might have a different answer for you. That's where I'm at now.
I get it. It sounds like you're always learning. So what have you learned about life after death? You mentioned a little bit of stuff, but that people might be interested to know.
Well, you don't die. So death is not real. We're not dead. We're just in a different space. I still feel like we have healing to do. We have growth. We help other people from the other space, the other realm. I can't tell you the number of times I've had spirits come through and say, hey, tell my family that my job on the other side is to help people who have died from drug overdoses come through, or to find peace, or to find their way. And a lot of times it's people that have died from drug overdoses that are then helping people that have also died the same way find their way. And they're also helping people in the living suffering from the same, you know, affliction, issue. And so death isn't real. You just are going to a different space and it continues on.
So this is a personal question, I guess. I am curious if you get the feeling that there is any suffering there. So like when somebody dies, I feel like as a human, you go through so much suffering and that trauma and pain can stay with you for the rest of your life, right? I'm curious if you have found or you have any thoughts on if there is feelings of like that on the other side, because I would assume they're suffering that they can't be with their loved ones or they can't explain that they're okay or whatever it is.
Yeah, no, like I was saying, I experience, you know, especially in the paranormal investigations where I'm experiencing these parts of the soul that still have not gotten out of the loop of anger or sadness or betrayal. But again, and this is where I say, like, I'm still learning. I don't think the entirety of the soul is going through that. I don't. There's a fragment. There's an aspect. And also, you know, when people have disabilities in this dimension, that goes away. Like I'll see people that couldn't walk in when they were alive, but they're running. They'll show me I'm running through the field on the other side because they want their family to know they can run, they can walk, they can move. So these physical ailments that we experience here do not carry over into the afterlife because you don't have a body like you have here, right?
Right.
So that's different. Yeah.
Okay. Has a spirit ever come to you and out of nowhere and sort of bothered you enough to be like, I need you to find this person. I need you to contact them.
Good question. The answer is yes. I have felt spirit saying that to me, but I will tell you, I have pretty good boundaries in that sense. I'm not the type of medium that approaches people that I don't know without their permission to give them a reading. I think that that is crossing a boundary. I very much ask people, can I share with you what I am seeing? Because you know, we see some shows where like the medium is walking up to somebody on the street and saying, hey, I know you don't know me, but your dad's here. Hi. You know, it's like, I don't do that. That's not how I operate, because it's important to remember that, you know, people have like trauma, even with people on the other side. Like, what if I'm re-traumatizing somebody? What if I'm triggering them? What if they're super religious and then they think that whatever I'm seeing is actually demonic and not the soul of their loved one? Then they're walking away thinking a demon's following them. They might be traumatized, and then I'm leaving. Yeah. You know, and so I don't operate that way. Although I'll say I know mediums that do, and I know people who receive it well. It's personal preference.
Yeah.
But I try to be very mindful of all of those factors, and I try to be very respectful of other people and their emotions.
Have you ever been scared by your own powers or abilities, whatever you call it? What do you call it?
I mean, intuition. Ability to connect. Yeah. Intuition, mediumship. Scared. Like, what do you mean by what I've seen and then it's happened?
Yes.
Or
yeah, like, yes. By what you've seen, by what you've felt, by what you had to felt obligated to tell someone or not tell someone. I mean, can it be scary?
Yes, it can be scary. One thing I don't like is when I can see when somebody's going to die. I really don't like that. And I'll tell you a story. This happened in, I think it was 2011. So this is going back some time. Somebody had asked me for a reading. And at the time, it wasn't like a one-on-one. He just said, I would love a reading. I said, fine, I'll go home. I'll sit down. I'll tap into what I'm experiencing. I'll send you what I got in an email. Then you can read it. If you have any questions, let me know. And in the reading, I was seeing he was going to have a heart attack. And I was seeing that it was going to be around Christmas. And that he needed to have his heart looked at. And I was like, great, how do I tell this person what I just saw? Like, this is really tricky because I'm not a doctor. I don't diagnose. So then there's that piece. Then you don't want to scare somebody and say something that's like really going to freak them out. And so what I said was, look, I'm not trying to scare you, but I feel like you really need to have your heart looked at as soon as possible. Like, again, not trying to scare you, but I really, really think you should get your heart looked at. He died on Christmas Day, literally on Christmas Day of that year. And it was for me really, really difficult because I felt like when I saw it, maybe I didn't say enough. Maybe I didn't push it enough. All of the things like and then being scared of like, how did I see that? Like, I don't want to see those things if I can't do anything to help somebody. Like the whole thing was really hard.
Ask you. Yeah. I was going to ask you, do you think that you telling them could change the future for them? Or do you think at that point it's too late?
I think it's hard to say, right? Like, it's like some things you can't change. I mean, it could be that he could have gotten his heart looked at and it wouldn't have changed anything. I have no idea. Right. But that's one of the things that I find like, challenging. And I don't like receiving that information. At least then I really didn't. I think now, a little bit further on in my career or in my work to, I think maybe sit with that in a different way. Because also it's like, sure, maybe if I see something like that now, it's an opportunity to spend more time with that person or to show up differently, you know, but it's tough. That can be really tough.
Yeah. Has anyone ever stalked you because they want to reach their loved one so much that they're like not leaving you alone about, please, can you contact this person? Or please, can you do a reading with me?
I mean, stalking is a strong word in that sense. Not really. Have I had stalkers since I've been on TV? Like, I mean, look, not extreme stalking. I've had some weird things happen. It's usually people that aren't even interested necessarily in my ability. It's for some other reason, you know?
Right. Because they're attracted to you or something.
Whatever, right? It like goes with the territory of being in the public like that. So right. I just, you know, yeah. I mean, I'm sure you've had that too, right? I mean.
Well, I think what's interesting is that people think they know you, right? And they just don't. And so they associate with, you know, they don't really have boundaries because they act like your friends already. And that can be too much.
It's so weird. It's so weird. Like people like come up to me and they're like, oh, hey, I saw this, this, and this. I'm like, how do you know that? Oh, I follow you on Instagram. Like they're following your Instagram so intensely.
Yeah.
And it's like actually really, it's just such a weird time we live in, right? It's just so weird.
No, it is weird. There's like no privacy for sure. So I know one of your dreams is to have an art show displaying spirits that you've encountered in haunted houses or just all through your life, right? Where are you in that level of your dream?
Oh, well, I mean, look, I'm at the beginning of that, right? I've been creating spirit art. I call it spirit art because I don't really know what to call it. Let's call it channeled art. Since 2009, I think that's when I really started doing it. And I kind of stepped away from it for a bit and then I came back to it. And what I do most of the time is I draw people's spirit guides. So I believe we all have spirit guides around us. We all have spirit guides, at least one.
What's a spirit guide?
Yes, a spirit guide is a spirit on the other side that is watching out for us. And it doesn't have to be a family member. It can be somebody that lived a really long time ago. somebody that like follows us throughout life in a good way. They don't give us all the answers. I believe that we're here in school. Like we come in with lessons to learn, with soul contracts, for lack of a better term. But we all have guides and we have different guides. I think we have at least one or two that follow us throughout our lifetimes. Like they're always there. And then we have different guides that come in depending on what we're going through. Right. So I've discovered that I have the ability to draw people's guides and then the guides will give a message to the person and the person that's receiving the message, the message makes sense to them, you know? And I really, really love doing that because, you know, it's nice to know that we have somebody with us. It's nice to know that we have somebody watching out for us. And look, I open it up to like people believe in all sorts of things on the other side. I'm open to all of it. Aliens, humans, whatever, you know, it's like all energy that's over there. So I have a friend who was like, please draw my guide. And as I was drawing the guide, I'm like, oh my God, this is an alien. Like I've never drawn. This is so weird. But she is super connected to aliens. So it made sense. Right. So yeah, I mean, I really one day would love to just like have a spot where I just like hang out. I draw spirits all day. It sounds awesome.
Right. That does sound awesome. Well, I guess I would be remiss in like having this time with you and not asking if I have a spirit guide.
Of course you have a spirit guide. I know. I want to draw your spirit guide. Hey, how about I will draw your spirit guide and send it to you if you want.
That's sweet. I mean, but when you're talking to people like me, like, is there something that you see in any conversation that you're having or people or, you know, things like that?
Yeah, sure. Like, again, like if I'm turning the radio up, I can turn it up and I can tap in and see what happens. I can turn it down. Yeah. So I could turn it up and tap in.
Yeah. Okay. So I know you have these live events coming up in December. You're going to be in Florida. Where else are you going to tell me exactly where you're going to be?
Okay. So I'm in Richmond right now. I'll be at Virginia Beach. I'm going to be in New Brunswick, New Jersey on the 3rd, Bridgeport, Connecticut on the 5th. Then I do an Ohio run. I have Omaha, then I have Toledo, Dayton, Liberty Township, Columbus. And then I'm going to be in Florida in December. So I'll be in Port Charlotte. I'll be in Naples, Tampa, and Orlando. And all of my dates are posted on my website, cindykayser.com.
And can people request to do private readings with you as well?
I don't do privates right now only because my time is limited because of my travel schedule and filming schedule. Mm-hmm. But I can recommend one of the best mediums I know, his name is Anthony Maraca. He lives in Jersey. He does a ton of private readings. He's so good. So check him out. I always refer people to him. He's spectacular.
Okay. Spell his last name.
Maraca.
Okay. And I guess that's really it. We wish you the best of luck. I'm so excited for all the stuff you're doing. People can watch you on the Dead Files. That's on the Travel Channel. Yes. And also you can get it streaming on a number of different sites, I guess. And how many more? So you've been in 3 episodes. How many more? Do you have the whole season that you're doing?
So actually, now that I think about it, I've been in 4, but the first one was tagged on to the end of, I replaced Amy Allen. The first one is tagged on to the end of her 5. So it's season 15, it starts at episode 6, and then it goes to 13. So I have, 6 more? Is that right?
Okay, or awesome. 4? And then how does that work? And then how does that work? You see if they'll bring you back for another season? Or, I mean, do you love doing this?
I love it. Yeah. It's tricky right now because, the network, there's the Warner bought Discovery. There's a huge merger. A lot of stuff is changing. We're hoping it comes back. So please watch the show so it can come back. But right. They have to air all of the episodes first. And then after they air, then we find out if we get renewed. So please watch Dead Files. Tune in live on Travel Channel Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And I will say, as a new watcher, it is really good. And now that you've confirmed that it's not scripted and you're doing real sort of readings while you're there and feeling your intuition, that makes it even more interesting. And I will continue to watch. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I wish you the best of luck and I can't wait to see what you do in the future.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.